We're trying to give everyone all sides of the story and try to remind them at the end of all this, they're still employed.
Welcome to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth, that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Thank you for joining us on the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, Marketing Coordinator with MassMEP. This is Episode 2 of Traversing Turbulent Times with our co-host, MassMEP President John Killam, and our guest, Diane Ferreira, Director of Human Resources with AccuRounds, and Paula Martel, Human Resource Manager with Northeastern Machine.
Times like this often identify areas for opportunity. What could we do better? Things like that. Have either of you seen an opportunity to go back to the State House and request legislative changes in how we operate to better protect an organization like yours, or even the people?
To be honest, John, I know from my perspective, we have not, because we've been so focused on trying to prevent this and implement things to protect our employees. Mm-hmm. That whole unemployment piece is a tough one for our employees, but I hear that the government is looking into some type of another package for people that are essential workers. Yeah. So I assume that would include, critical manufacturing. But, and then you do have some other folks out there that are, increasing people's pay so that they don't lose them or that they can recruit, like the Amazons and, Wegmans and things like that. So when you hear that, they think they're getting a really good story. Yes, people are laid off, but they're still getting a good story. But then, we also know of stories of people getting pay reductions or losing their pay increases or reduction in hours. So we're trying to give everyone all sides of the story and try to remind them at the end of all this, they're still employed. So that's kind of what we've been doing, but myself personally, no, I have not thought had that opportunity to look for those.
It's not the first thing that comes to mind when you're head deep in this type of environment. Okay. Anything else on the legislative ideas or?
I think that what we can learn from this first pandemic is that when we're faced with this kind of adversity, there are other groups that might need to be tested. It was first healthcare workers, and now the addition of supermarket workers. But if we were looking to expand employment in a pandemic because you had a lot of work related to the pandemic, how would you safeguard your employees that are currently in your building to take in a new person? And so testing is one way in which we might be able to do that, but we're kind of still far down the testing path. We're not there yet. But prioritizing those essential workers that are on the front lines, so to speak, that might not come to mind at the 6 o'clock news.
Yeah.
Let me ask the converse. Is there regulations right now that are negatively impacting your organization during this time?
No, I don't think so. I think regulations are trying to still catch up. There is nothing on the books that I feel like, this is really inhibiting us. I think what we need to look back and learn is, the hoarding and the PPE and those kinds of things, now you can't get anything and do you need to keep more in the building? There'll be a lot of lessons looking back on how do you prepare for something like this in the future. But regulatory wise, we're not really running into problems.
Okay.
We, John, we aren't running into problems per se about that either. I mean, having the two weeks paid sick leave, obviously we did not budget for, but we're able to sustain that. You know, so the, but every manufacturer is a little different as far as, you know, how they manage money and, you know, their cash flow and things like that. So I think it may impact them each a little differently than, you know, maybe myself or Paula.
Yep. All right. Super. Thank you. Haley, back to you.
I'm going to pop back a question, and I just want to go back. Obviously, we've put this at the human element of what we're talking about, but have either of you made any surprising discoveries, whether it be about the human capacity to cope or care, or about how you individually deal with a crisis, or how you could improve, how you've had an improved process as a result of either of this? How about Diane?
Well, for us, I think one of the biggest surprises for us was people stepping up to the plate that you probably wouldn't normally see. It was very, you know, it's very difficult to find, you know, the cleaning wipes and the sanitizers. So employees, when they were out shopping, I mean, you're limited to buying one. They would buy one and they would bring it into work. Folks that, you know, aren't here because of being a high risk person, they would try to cover for them. So, you know, yes, there's a lot of fear and anxiety for all our employees, but even with that, it's pretty inspiring to see some of the people that have really stepped it up. Myself, I've learned to maintain a little bit of calm because everyone is an individual, so it's impacting them all uniquely toward their lives.
Yeah.
So, but I think overall, you know, I think as a company and as a group of, you know, because our team members are the most important thing to us. I think as a group, it's going to make us stronger because we're all there for each other. So I think that's been, kind of the best part of this whole thing, is just knowing that we're all in this together, knowing that, you know, we're here to support one another, and knowing genuinely that Mike is doing everything in his power to take care of them. So I think that's critical for the, you know, for them, because it's a security piece that they need.
Paula, how about for you guys, or for you?
I think that the employees are proud of what they're making that they know is fighting coronavirus. I think that they see their jobs maybe as more significant than they did before the pandemic. I think from a mental health standpoint, you have to be aware that everybody's mental health is suffering. The HR director, the owner, everyone's, and you have to have a little bit more patience, a little more understanding. I often say these days that COVID has overtaken my life, and that some of my day-to-day jobs that I took for granted now seem like I'm never gonna get to them. But I think that people are also interested in their colleagues' mental health and their colleagues' ability to cope with what might be going on at home, whether that be a child without any school, and how are they going to homeschool their child and work, and how are they going to take care of their parent who they can't go and see, and all of the little things that are affecting people outside of work. We've had some deaths not related to coronavirus, and people can't grieve and have a proper funeral. And the staff has been very kind and outreaching to those two individuals on our staff. So I think it's bringing out the best in people, and not necessarily at the grocery store, but at work, it's, I think, bringing out the best in these individuals.
That's great. All right, John, do you have any last questions that you'd like to ask them?
Paula and Diane, the question is simply, what can MassMEP do for you right now? And is there something that you would require from the state itself that could help your organizations? And in your answers, think about what would other manufacturers be looking for maybe from a mass MEP. So Paula, if you wouldn't mind starting, that would be great.
Sure. I think the best thing that Mass MEP is doing for us currently is the online training access. So we can be in the office, but also be have access to online training that we would usually try to send some people out to. So the Cobots is a workshop that we're going to be participating in, as is the CMMC workshop. So to have those continue to be accessible in these times when we might not all be able to be together in a building has been a great help to us. I think that employers generally are, when they have a minute to breathe, are thinking about the things that they're losing. We have had to suspend all OJT in the building because we can't have people in close proximity. So there are definitely things that are lagging that we're going to have to address sooner or later. And I think Mass MEP, either grants, workforce grants or direct grants for employers, maybe not in this moment, but in the near future, are going to be necessary to get people kind of back on track. We have a policy now that if you don't know how to set up your machine or you don't know how to fix whatever's happening with your machine, you need to walk away and somebody will come and do it for you. So you're not really getting any tribal knowledge in this period either. So I think that Mass MEP can be helpful in those ways. In terms of the state of Mass, I think they've made a great response to the whole thing. I think one place where we do need to be looking is how are we going to test essential workers, either to get them back to work if they're out on this sick leave and are symptomatic and then cease to be symptomatic. How do we have them re-enter the workplace? How do we hire if there is an uptick in work without testing? How do we tell our employees that it's a safe practice to make hires without any kind of testing? And how do we kind of return to normal without testing? So I think eventually we need testing for the non-sick. But in the short run, even testing the sick sometimes can be a challenge. And Diane can speak to some of her challenges in having people tested. So I think that would be my major, if I had the governor for a couple of minutes, that would be what I would speak to him about.
Paula, thank you so much. I think you're spot on. How do we return confidently to work if we can't tell our people that we're doing everything we can to protect them? And right, we need to demonstrate that through, like you say, some type of validation, some type of testing. Thank you. Diane, same question.
Well, I know Mass MEP is working with Merck, for the, you know, for everything. So I feel that from that end, I think that, you know, that's being addressed with Mike and you guys. But as far as, you know, from my world of HR, I agree with Paula. I think the online training is great. I know it's a little more challenging to do 5S without doing the hands-on activities, but I think, you know, it's working fine. The apprenticeship program is still running. I think that's great. And I think that the flexibility that Mass MEP has given for some of the programs and some of the testing is fabulous because schools are closed. So from that aspect, I think it's great. But I mean, and I agree with Paula too. I think from a training standpoint down the road, I think we definitely need to take a look at that because, you know, the people that we have, I think they want to stay, and in order for them to, you know, be engaged and be part of it, you know, they need to learn and grow. So I think the training that at Mass MEP definitely supports that. And we see the impact, even from the apprenticeship program, from where the person started to where they are today. So Mass MEP plays a very significant part for keeping us, helping us with, you know, with resources.
Thank you, Diane. Appreciate that. Haley, that's all I had.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much for doing this. It's really been important for us to speak to you directly. You're kind of the front line in all of this that we deal with every single day, obviously in our world of manufacturing. So we appreciate you taking your time out of your days to jump in. And thanks, John, for coming over and being a co-host for today. I hope you don't take my job and become our new host, but I'd love to have you back.
No worries.
Yeah. Love to have you back in the future and being, you know, in the co-host seat. And for both Paula and Diane, you know, I'd love to have you guys back in the future as well. Hopefully it'll be for more of a positive spin once we get past all this, and we can talk about maybe more specifics of our, you know, our training programs that we offer and how you feel about them and the grant programs and everything that we do. But we obviously really enjoy working with both of you. We've had a lot of success with you both, and I think that's reciprocated back, obviously, because you joined us on our podcast today. So thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So for more information, you can join us or visit us at massmep.org, and you can always subscribe to our podcast channel on either iTunes or Spotify. So thank you all today for joining us on our Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to Mass MEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of Mass MEP's podcasts or for more information on how Mass MEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.